The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Having pretty much settled in now after the end of the Feast of Tabernacles for this year and all of the holy days, the plan of salvation ending for this particular calendar year, I'm reminded of some facts that we are 1 year closer to. And I'd like to share some of those with you. One of the facts that we come to realize is that we are 1 day closer to our death. We're also 1 day closer to Jesus Christ's return. We also are reminded that the kingdom of God on earth for 1,000 years is closer now than it was last year at the feast. We're also reminded the day when we will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment is 1 day closer. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 5 verse 10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Another thing that I'm reminded of is the day when Jesus Christ is going to say to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. And of course said, but in verse 41 of chapter 25 of Matthew, it also says to some, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his demons." So since, brethren, we are 1 year closer to that day of our destiny being changed from flesh to spirit and being born into the family of God, and what we have seen through this year, through all of the holy day plan, through all of it, culminating with the last great day, I'd like to use this opportunity today to do some things. One thing is I would like to, in this sermon today, I'd like to provoke our thinking as to how we have used this past year. I'd like for us to think back over, you know, how have we used this year? And I mean year from the Feast of Tabernacles of 2009 to the Feast of Tabernacles of 2010. So we're reflecting back during from feast last year to feast this year. And another thing that I would like to do in this sermon today is to suggest some resolutions for the coming year, from now to the feast in 2011. My goal, and if you want to say my SPS of the sermon today, is to encourage all of us to make better use of the time that we have left and to prepare for us the days that have been pictured by the entire plan of salvation through the holy days that we've already experienced this year. We experience that every year. But I want us to reflect and I want us to think back, because we have just completed this a month and a half or so back. And so with that, I'd like to begin by asking some questions. The first question I have is in this past year, meaning from the feast of 2009 to 2010, the first question I have is, did our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ improve? See, these are one of those questions when we can ask and we can answer yes or no. One of them's a good answer and one of them's not so good. But we're going to make some resolves by the end of the sermon that by next feast we're going to be able to answer all of these questions in a positive yes, I've done better. And so this is what we're kind of looking at today. I have some what I would consider some sub-questions under our major questions, and that's the first major question that we're going to look at, is did my relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ improve? Yes or no? Did we draw nearer to God? Because see, we're instructed to do so. The reason I'm putting it in this way is because we're instructed to do so in Scripture. Go to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will think about drawing nigh to you. Well, that's not what it says, is it? You draw nigh to God, you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. That's why I can ask the question, did we build on our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ last year? And we can answer yes or no. And so we can start by asking, did I do what the Scripture has said? Draw close to God and God will draw close to you. And then the same verse goes on and it says, clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so we can see where part of that drawing close comes from. It is by recognizing that we have sinned, but because we have God's Holy Spirit in us, we don't have to remain there and keep asking ourselves over and over and over and over and over, has God forgiven me? The answer is yes, get over it and let's move on. Now that's where we need to come to, and that's what we need to think about, and that's what we need to realize. Yes, we have sinned, but we have also been forgiven. If we have asked for forgiveness, if we have repented of that sin, we can move on to receiving whatever it is that God has in store for us and not being hung up, you know, in that present day of thinking, am I still a sinner? Are those sins ever before me? They don't have to be. We draw close to God, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and that's talking about repenting of those things, and purify your hearts. We go on because our hearts can be pure, because we can draw closer to God, because we recognize, yeah, I've sinned. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we don't stay there. As true brethren, as true believers, we don't remain there, we move forward. And sometimes it's just an understanding that God is a God who purifies our hearts. We allow him to do so, and it's done. And then we move on because, and it says, you double-minded. Double-minded here is meaning that we're halting between two things, thinking that we're still sinners. I'm using it in this context. There's a lot of ways of doing this. But double-minded could be we're still halting with the idea of, yes, I've sinned, I've done these horrible things, and I'm still there, or has God really forgiven me and can I move on? Repent of the sins and move on. Allow God to draw close to us because we're drawing close to him. Have God purify our hearts because we have an attitude of, I'm moving on. And that's what we need to do. We need to bear in mind, brethren, that a close relationship depends also on some couple of other things. One is having a very good communication. Now, so with that in mind, here is the question, another question, and that is, were we faithful in listening to God through his word during this past year? In other words, how intense and how involved were we really in our Bible study? You go, oh, this is a very basic sermon, and I'll tell you from the beginning. Absolutely, and I'm not apologizing for it. Because I want us to make some resolve so that we will move on, that we will not stay where we are, that we will move on. So how faithful were we in listening to the Word of God, in other words, through our Bible studies? And I guess you could break that down and say, did I really get involved in Bible study like I should have during this past year? And again, that's an answer of yes or no. Here's another question. I want to put it this way. During this past year, from the Feast of 09 to the Feast of 10, did we read through the Bible this year? I think it's a very good practice to read through the entirety of the Bible every year. Now, I understand not everybody is going to be inclined so to do that, and not everybody is going to have an inclination to want to do those things. Personally, I think it's a real good thing to do. If this book is the book that we're going to be basing our lives upon, can we get to the place that we know too much about it? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. And so by simply reading it, we get more. And if you read this thing through, you know, two, three, four, five, 10 times, whatever it is. You're going to know more about it if you just read it, because you're going to be familiar with it. And I encourage people to do that, to, you know, and to build a relationship with God by getting to know more and more about His Word. It's recorded for us in the pages of the Bible. Another question is, were we steadfast in talking to God during this past year through prayer? In other words, were we really involved in the kinds of prayer and as much time and effort put into our prayers during this past year from feast to feast that we could have been, or, if you may want to word it, should have been? Again, see, this is one of those questions that answers yes or no. Brethren, please understand that an effective communication requires a two-way street. Therefore, fervent Bible study should be joined with fervent prayer. We have to have them both. You can't just have one and not have the other, and you can't do away with both. You have to have them both. And so we need to put in our mind's eye and in our heart that we're going to even do so more during this next year. Another question is, did our degree of prayerfulness increase or decrease this year? Let's move on to another, what I would call a major question. The second major question that we ask today is, did our relationship with one another, in other words, with the brethren, improve this year from the feast of 2009 to the feast of 2010, or 29 and 2010? Some sub-questions underneath this one, just like we had with the first question. Did our love for one another increase this year? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Paul is talking to the Thessalonians here. He says, you're known for your love for one another, for the brethren. But I'm telling you to even increase it. To even increase it. And he didn't say, you're not doing it enough. Basically, what this verse is saying is, you are known as a people who have brotherly love toward one another. And I'm telling you to even increase it more and more. So I guess with that in mind, I think that we could probably look at ourselves and answer the question, did I draw closer to our brethren during this past year? And we could say, yeah, I did. You know, I really love the brethren. Like the Apostle Paul, he's saying, do it more. Increase it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling us. And so, are we closer to one another than we were a year ago? Moving on to another question, did our relationship with those in the world improve? Now, I know and I realize that we're told that we're to come out of the world, and that's true and that's good, and we are told to do that. But, brethren, we also need to please realize and understand that as the people of God, we have an important responsibility to those that are in the world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13, we begin. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing. If we're not the salt of the earth, then whatever we could be giving to the world is nothing. It's worth nothing. That's what he's saying. We have to understand what salt is, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it is cast out, and it is trodden underfoot of men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. So he's making these comparison here. He's telling us what we are, what the body of Jesus Christ, what we are to the world. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, it's not going to be hid because it's up on a thing and there's a light and everybody can see it. If you've ever had opportunity to fly, and I think probably most every one of us have, and if you fly at night, it's dark because there's nothing, and you can look down, and once in a while you can see a little light. And then when you come into the wherever it is that you're landing, and they see this, you're coming into the city, and most of the times it's going to be major cities, and it's at night, like I'm saying, you can tell it more so. You have all these lights on. You go, yeah, we've arrived. And that's what he's talking, it's that kind of thing that he's talking about. A city that is set on a hill, can I be hidden? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Because you light the candle for what purpose? So it'd be seen. Get to be seen. So you can see what you're doing, where you're walking about, or so that others can see where you are. There's a lot of reasons why you would light a candle. But it's put on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are to be what Jesus Christ, in this analogy here, and telling us that we are salt and we are light, he's telling us that we are to have a positive influence. You are the salt of the earth, and we are to demonstrate a better way of living within a darkened world because you are the light of the world, and we're to be that light. We're to be showing them the way of life of Jesus Christ. Whether they accept it is not really the point. Do we want to accept it? Absolutely. We want to live our lives around people so that they will see it and they will also desire that. Not because it's us, but because what we're doing is a reflection, as it were, of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's what they're seeing. And that's what we want them to see. Salt needs to be added to our world. It needs to be a positive influence, and that's what we're to be. We're to be a positive influence in this world. The light of Jesus Christ needs to be seen in our lives. And another way that we see, putting this all together, that we are to be the salt of the world and we are to be the light of the world, and that is the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ needs to be communicated to those that we come in contact with. Not seeing stand on the street corners and handing out pamphlets, not seeing standing on the street corners or getting on the bus and riding up and down the streets of some that I know have done. I'm not implying doing that. If you opt to do that, be safe. I didn't say don't do it, did I? I didn't say do it, but I'm saying if that's something that you choose to do, I'm not real sure why we would do it in that way, and if you have a good reason, let me know. But we are to live our lives as an influence in the world. And if people, and we're right now in the time of the year when this is a really good opportunity, and people begin to say things to you, such as which is coming up. Merry Christmas. What do you tell them? Maybe something we want to talk about. But here's a good example. I'm not saying to start telling people, that's pagan, that's wrong, that's not supposed to happen. But if someone asks, do you shy away? Or do we tell them where we're coming from with respect to where they are? Because see, we have to also do it out of respect for them. Because most people aren't doing it because they don't think about Jesus Christ was not really born at this time of the year, and they don't really think about all of the commercialism of it. They don't think along those lines. And so we don't want to blow somebody away either, but as we are there as the salt of the earth giving positive influence, we can give them right information as they ask. And are we going to do that? So in other words, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it needs to be communicated to the world. And we have an opportunity to do that in a lot of different ways. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. Do we think that it has to just be the bigger church groups that are out there because they got all of the people going into all the different countries and they got all the magazines and all of that? Is that just preaching of the gospel? The answer is no. Is that part of it? Sure, it's probably part of it. Is that the whole of it? Of course not. Living our lives day by day and people witnessing our lives, Jesus Christ in us, is also part of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I've had people say, you are different. And I go, yeah, I know I am. You know, thank you. But, you know, and they don't mean what I joke back. You know, I've done that. And they go, no, there's just something different about you. Something about, you know, the people. You know, like at the feast, they do those kinds of things. They've told us that because it's a collection of people. And yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And I have said, yes, I think you're right. And I think what you're seeing is Jesus Christ alive in us. That's what we want. And I've had people to say, yeah, okay, ho-hum, and turn away and go on. And others says that, what do you mean? You say the same word. I've said the same words to both people who make the same comment, but it's how they react is what I will say next. That's when we can be preaching the gospel. And please think about it in that way. Living our lives as a true believer is part of getting the gospel message out because they are seeing Jesus Christ in us. Talking about this, you know, that we are the light and the salt of the world, and have we drawn closer in that sense to people of the world? Let's make it real close to home. Now, I know in some situations you're not able to do this for various reasons, and I understand that, but according to the situation where we are, we have to ask ourselves, are we like most neighbors in this day and age, living next door to people, but really don't know anything about them? So I guess the real question that I'm raising here could be summarized in this way. Another year has gone by, from the feast of 29 to the feast of 2010. Have we made good use of the time that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, or have we wasted it? All of us, in some degree, in one way or another, probably have not been making total good use of our time during the past year. But at this point, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like to consider the words of the Apostle Paul, and I'd like us to think about these things and apply them into our lives. And so go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be. So with this attitude of pressing forward, pressing upward, I want to make some resolutions. And this really is the crux of the sermon. For the year ahead, from now, the end of this feast, to the beginning of the feast in 2011, I'm asking all of us to resolve to draw closer to God in Jesus Christ by doing some things. And I know those of you who heard me speak any length of time at all, I know you can start writing them down. And you'll be right. You might not have in the same order that I have them, but you'll be right. You'll have it. For one thing, I definitely recommend is having a daily Bible reading program of God's Word. I recommend reading the Bible through every year. Read and study the Bible. Do it daily. But I don't really like to study. Do it daily. Do it more and do it more often. But I don't really like just sitting down and studying for a half hour or 45 minutes, an hour every day. Break it up in smaller increments. Just do it more times. Just do it more times. Just do it every day. Do it every day. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know the answer already, and that is, how many of you eat every day? The answer is, unless we have chosen to fast, most of us do it every day. And I'm saying most because, yeah, there's an occasional time when you may get in a situation where it turns out for whatever reason, there's just no food for you to eat. But most of the time, my point is, we eat every day. Okay, so the next question is which is more important, physical food or spiritual food? Now, here we're sitting in Sabbath services, and so we all are going to come to it, well, I know the right answer. Okay, so tomorrow, when you eat physical food, are you going to think about what you thought today? That, yeah, we've also got to spiritually eat too. And so which one is more important? There is no question. One is for today, because you're going to have to eat again tomorrow, because if you don't eat for about 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 days, most people die. Now, that's a sad thing that we're in, that we can't fast even for long, long periods of time, and I certainly never recommend that we do. But the point being is, we can't, because we're at the end of 6,000 years of degeneracy. We just can't last very long without physical food. How long can we last without spiritual food? That one's going to sustain us for eternity. One is from one meal to the next for most of us. The physical food is from one meal to the next. Spiritual food is going to endure and build us for all eternity. So, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. But you know what? If we don't have the Word of God in our thoughts and in our heart, it isn't going to be the discerner. It's going to be our own thoughts that are going to be there. Now, making it real simple, which would we rather? The thoughts of God in our mind and in our heart, or our thoughts in our minds and our hearts? Well, again, there is no question. We know the right answer. How does it get in there? Through studying the Word of God. Through studying the Word of God. That's how it gets in there. So as I already said, I encourage that you read the entire Bible this year. If it's been a while since you've read it all the way through, read it again. Read it all the way through. Let me give you some real simple facts about the Bible. This is with the King James Version. It can be read aloud in 70 hours. Now, that's not a long time. You know, if you just think about it, it can be read aloud in 70 hours. There are 1,189 chapters. There are 31,101 verses. And there are 783,137 words. I've told you this before, if you read 200 words a minute, you read 10 minutes a day, you can read it through in about 11 months. That's not much. You go, I don't read that fast. Okay, if you only read 100 words a minute, read 20 minutes a day and you'll read it in 11 months. It's the same thing. Oh, it's too long. It takes me too long to do this. 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day, whatever speed you read, just don't miss a day. And I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about reading it, but I'm also talking about also spending times in reading it and studying it. Another resolution for this next year before the feast coming in 2011 is being more diligent in prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or our confession, as it says in the New King. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be tempted, or who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have this high priest who's been where we are, walk where we walk, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And of course, two of the ways of doing that is through Bible study and prayer. Another resolve. Let's determine to be a truly thankful people. You go, well, I'm thankful. No, I mean truly thankful. Really getting it. Really being thankful. Let's go to Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or diligent, being on guard, end it with thanksgiving. We're on guard with thanksgiving. We're on guard because there's a roaring lion walking out there gobbling up who he may, who he wants to. And we don't want him to gobble us up. So one of the ways we do it, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, being on guard. And in all of this, you do it with thanksgiving. So we're to be a truly thankful person, a really truly thankful people. In other words, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing, verse 18. And everything give thanks. It didn't say, and all those good things and the things that are going your way, give thanks. It's not what it says. It says, in everything give thanks. If you do a study on this phrase, you know what it means? In all areas. In any area. In everything. That's what it says. In everything give thanks. The next phrase, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. The will of God is that in all things we would give thanks. That's what the verse is saying. It's the will of God. Sometimes people have said, how do we know the will of God? Well, you go through the Bible and look for all the places where this is the will of God. And it says, this is the will of God, that we do this, or we do this, or we don't do this, or whatever it is. This is one of them. One of them is that we will pray without ceasing, and another thing is, and everything, give thanks. Because this is the will of God. We also know the verse that says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Perhaps Daniel's custom of praying three times a daily would be a worthy goal for us of duplicating what he did. Go to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, Daniel 6:10, and it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, or as he had always done. The decree was, you know the story, the decree was no one can pray to another God. And they did the decree because they wanted to get rid of Daniel. So he heard it and he goes, okay. So he goes in and kneels with his window open and faces Jerusalem and prays three times a day. He did it in spite of whatever was in front of him, you know, the difficulties. And a result of, yeah, he had some problems as a result, but God saved him. You know the story. If you don't, go back and read it. So the first major resolve for this year is to draw close to God. That's the point. And we do this with more intense Bible study, reading the Bible daily, Old and New Testament, reading it all the way through. It's a good thing if you've not done that, if you've never done it, or if you've not done it in a long time. Make it a goal. Read it all the way through. More diligent prayer, more diligent Bible study. Those are some things that we need to consider. Okay, the next major resolve is to become closer to the brethren, to become closer to one another. 3 John, verse 14. There's only one chapter. 3 John, verse 14. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and you shall speak, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. In other words, he's saying, we're to really know one another. We know everybody here locally in this congregation. We know everybody here by name because we're small enough that that's not a hard thing to do. But we're to know everybody's name. The implication of the verse is so much deeper than that. It is a suggestion that we know one another. It's not just their name, but it's the name here in this sense, and this verse is representing who the person is, who they are. And do we really know about who one another is? So a suggestion might be to have each one of the brethren, we can do that here in this local congregation, in your home during this next year. It's not so difficult that we couldn't do that. I don't know that everybody has done that. And see, if you have everybody in your home, that means you've been invited, but you've also been inviting. It works both ways. And if you've not done it, then I suggest do it. Now, why does someone really have the time? Yeah, we do. It's choices. It's choices. I'm not talking about you have to, you know, do this elaborate meal. It doesn't even have to be a meal. I mean, it could be. Most of the time, I think when we tend to have people in our homes, we tend to do with meals, but it doesn't have to be. I'm talking about just getting together and getting to know, really, truly knowing one another. It's much easier to pray for people when you really know them. not just because you know their name, but because you really know them. Then your heart's really going to go out to them, and you're really going to be praying, because you're going to be putting yourself in their shoes and their situations. And it works both ways here. It works both ways. Okay, let's move on. A third resolve would be to get to know others better. And I mean those not part of the church. It is amazing how far simple hospitality and neighborly kindness can go. Now, again, I want to throw out cautions from the very beginning. I already said this earlier. You may be in a situation where you really are just unable to do that. I understand that. I understand that. But if you're in a situation where you can really get to know other people, people from your job, people who are in your community, wherever, because it can go a long ways. And the reason is because it can build some really meaningful relationships. I know that in times past and years past, we have been told, don't become friends with the world. And I'm to tell you here, I think, reading the scriptures, that's not what it says. It's not really what it says. We are to be friendly to all. Of course, more so of the brethren, of those who believe the same way, who live the same way of life, because it's much easier in this sense to you're more on the same page, you know, when you think about it in that way, which that's a real interesting thing to think about, too, where that term came from. We're on the same page. It was from people who were on a daily Bible reading program. Basically, it was from the Jews, because they would do the parashah every day. In other words, everybody on Tuesday, everybody is all reading the same chapter and verses. Because if you're on a plan, everybody's on, you know what? Everybody's on the same page. That's where that comes from. So I think that's something we need to consider. That's why I said earlier, maybe a reading plan that we all want to be part of. By getting to know other people, it's easier to share the good news of the kingdom of God. You'll be surprised how many people today are willing to listen to your explaining why you do the holy days. I'm not saying they're going to change their lives, but you'd be surprised how many people will listen to it and will even make comments like, that makes sense. No, they're not necessarily going to say, well, where are you going to church and can I join you? But it does make sense, and that's what people are wanting to hear. And if you share this with people because we're not timid to do so, again, I'm not saying standing on the street corner, not saying, you know, stop people and do this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we really get to know people, one another, and again, remember, this is a third resolution I'm talking about, is getting to know people who are not necessarily part of the body of Jesus Christ. If we really get to know people and you're willing to share with them, now, again, I'm not going to ask questions. I don't want comments here, but how many people, because I know we have some people in this congregation who work outside of the home. I'm going to put it in that way. If you work outside of the home, how many of your coworkers know you keep the holy days? And the second question to that is, how many of your coworkers know why you keep the holy days? That's really an important thing. Now, we look at it and we say, well, if I don't have to bring it up, then I'm not going to bring it up. And again, I'm telling you, all of this, a lot of this goes back to many years in the church where we were told, you don't do that. And I'm saying, yeah, we do. Yes, we do. We are going to have to be able to give an account of everything. Those verses were not just to the ministry. It's to all of us. So we want to have look for opportunities, as it were, so that we can be able to share with others the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And one of the best ways of doing that is through telling them about the holy days. Because it is fascinating to many people when you tell them. It's such an eye-opener to so many people. I understand that these resolutions sound simplistic, and they are. I understand that. And I said from the very beginning, this is going to be very simplistic, and I'm not apologizing for it. I am also saying if they are implemented, they are going to go a long way. They're going to move forward in a long ways to producing the kind of lifestyle that true believers, as true believers, that we want to demonstrate to others and to have in our own lives. If you draw closer to God the Father and Jesus Christ, we're going to have a much clearer lifestyle of a way of life, because we're going to be influenced more and more by the Bible and by praying and hearing the Word of God, us speaking to God, God speaking to us, and all of those kinds of things. We're also have the same kind of thing by drawing closer to the brethren with one another, and we find out that we're all going through some of the same kind of trials and tests, or we've been through them, and you're going through it now, and you get, well, I've been there, and what did you do? And you go, and so many times, the brethren, what we do is we share, we go to the Bible, and this is how it was resolved. And that helps us to create that lifestyle, that Christian, that true believer way of life, that lifestyle that we want to have. It also goes a long way to increasing closer relationships with God the Father, Jesus Christ, with our brethren, and with the world, who do not know what it is that we know. And yes, and I realize I could come stay and say right behind it, and at this point, many of them don't want to know until they hear it. Because it's answers to questions to so many people. And it's amazing how many people will listen. So it will increase a closer relationship with God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and with one another and to others. And as a result of that, what's going to happen is our lives are going to be blessed. Another thing that's going to happen as a result of this is the church is going to be blessed, and the community in which we live is also going to be blessed. I think we have sat on our backside too much and not done enough things that we can let people know that we're here. Maybe most of us are okay with that. Maybe God's okay with that. But until He tells us that this is where He wants us and this is all He wants, I think that there are some things that we might want to consider doing. And I don't have that as part of the sermon, but I do think that it's something that I'd like for us to talk about. And I'd like for those of you on the internet and a phone hookup to contact us and make suggestions as well. But brethren, we need to understand, we know this, but we need to accept it and live by it. And that is, time is a very precious commodity. It is given to us by God. We're above ground. We have breath. And we are to praise and bless God. You've heard this in sermons here recently. That's one of the main reasons why we have breath, is to praise God. And in praising God, we can be telling others about it. All of that ties hand in hand. We're told in James chapter 4, 13 through 15, that it is that time is like a vapor. It's just a smoke. It's gone. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that. We also need to understand that it needs to be something, time I'm talking about, that is carefully redeemed, that we're buying back, as it were, or we are using. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. That's what it tells us. Now, what I hope that has happened here today by talking about these, yes, I say, very simplistic suggestions for resolutions for the next year, 2011, that this is going to help all of us in making better use of our time. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed. What are we going to do with the blessing of time that God has given to us?
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.